We're going to begin the Senate Rules Committee. It is Wednesday, January 10th, approximately 1:41 p.m. I want to thank each and every one of you, colleagues, for coming on time here today. Let's establish a quorum so we can move forward with today's hearing. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins. Atkins here. Berryhill. Here. Berryhill here. Leyva. Here. Leyva here. Canella.
Here.
Canella here. De Leon.
Here.
De Leon here.
Fantastic. Thank you, Madam Secretary. We've established a quorum. Colleagues, let's go to the agenda items that are before us. We're going to go and take files item number 2, 3, 6, 7, 8. 2, 3, 6, 7, 8. Can I get a motion? We have a motion made by Ms. Leyva. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins. Aye. Atkins, aye. Berryhill. Aye. Berryhill, aye. Leyva. Leyva, aye. Canella.
Aye.
Canella, aye. De Leon.
Aye.
De Leon, aye.
Fantastic. Thank you much, colleagues. That motion does pass. We have two appointments that are before us today. We have Mr. Michael Ruff, who's Commissioner of the Board of Parole, as well as Paula Labrie. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Is it Labrie? Labrie? Labrie. The California Gambling Control Commission. Why don't we bring up Mr. Ruff that is before us. Mr. Ruff. Welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself, give us a short synopsis of your bio, and then we'll go to questions and answers. Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate Rules Committee. My name is Michael Ruff, and I am here seeking your approval to continue my public service as a member of the Board of Parole Hearing. My service to country and the public have spanned approximately 34 years. I was truly honored when Governor Brown appointed me as a commissioner for the Board of Parole. I feel it is one of the most rewarding jobs I've ever had. It is a personal fulfillment for me and a way to continue serving the public. I approach every case with an understanding my decisions will impact the inmates and the inmates' families, as well as the victims and the victims' family and the public. I have empathy and compassion for the victims and the victims' family, and I try to provide opportunity and hope for those who have rehabilitated and deserve an opportunity to reintegrate into the community. I'm honored to speak with all of you today, and I look forward to answering your questions.
Mr. Ruff, when we open up to questions and answers from the members, Ms. Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. Good afternoon, Mr. Ruff. I enjoyed meeting with you yesterday, and I will thank you publicly as I did privately for your service. I think that the job that you do is very, very difficult, but very meaningful and helpful to society at large. I just had a couple questions. Can you describe the characteristics of a typical inmate who is released under the terms of Prop 57? If there is such a thing as typical?
As far as released under Prop 57, I'm not sure, because most of what we're dealing with, the LIFR hearings, we're not dealing with that aspect of it.
Gotcha.
That's usually the deputy commissioners. So.
Okay, fair enough. What training have you received to understand the specific challenges of inmates with developmental disabilities, if any training?
When I was initially appointed, I went through about 5 weeks of training, and it covered the Americans with Disability Review. In addition to that, prior to my appointment, when I was a part of the Department of Corrections, I received training on an annual basis in regards to dealing with inmates who have disabilities. For our hearings, we address it at every hearing. We discuss the inmates. We call it the ADA review. We ask them if they have any disability, and we ensure that their disabilities are attended to during the hearings.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. No further questions.
Ms. Leyva. Mr. Berryhill.
Hi, and welcome. I don't have any concerns about this confirmation at all. We did do some homework. I wasn't able to meet with you, but we did make some calls to some DAs up in the mountains, and they'd love you. So that's good enough for me. So I'll be supporting you today, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Mr. Berryhill, Ms. Atkins.
Very nice to meet you. I'm interested in hearing your comments, your opening comments. You obviously have a long history at CDCR, and now you're stepping into this role. What do you think makes it your unique perspective moving from one part of CDCR and now on the board. Anything you feel like you bring that kind of sets you aside from others?
I think that we all members of the board have unique backgrounds. Mine coming up through the system, starting as a correctional officer at San Quentin and promoting up through the ranks. 12 and a half years at San Quentin, I was part of a boot camp program at San Quentin. It was a pilot program, and that was sort of my first exposure to rehabilitation, I would say, because it was a great program, and you really saw the change in inmates who came in through that program. Promoting through the ranks and working at different levels of institution with different types of inmates and at every custody level gives me that experience in the hearings when we're talking, discussing their post-conviction factors with the deputy commissioner, and I may chime in. If the deputy commissioner doesn't understand a particular thing that the inmate's talking about, then I'll go, well, he's talking about this. So that experience that I had coming up through the ranks has given me the ability to, I guess, to communicate a little bit better in certain areas.
And I'm sort of, it stuck out to me as you were starting, of course, anybody who gets appointed to a position by the governor feels honored and what an opportunity to serve. But you had a career and finished, given the hard nature of the work in public safety, the fact that you are just, you were so excited to be appointed, struck me. So after a much deserved rest from a difficult job in the system, tell me a little more about why you are so excited to be appointed to this position.
When I retired in 2013. I took 7 weeks off, and my wife said, you didn't really retire. I retired at the age of 50, and I wasn't ready to stop working. I enjoyed my job when I was doing it, and this job in itself, public service, is something I've done all my life. Mm-hmm. Prior to that, when I was in the military, I enjoyed that. I was initially thinking about making a career of that, but my, you know, my path went into law enforcement. It's just the job itself, and even this, is really fulfilling. It's seeing the process itself work, seeing the change in people. I won't lie, the victims is a really big thing that I wasn't, you know, you get the training, but when you actually see the pain of the family members, it's something that affects you. So, but by that same token, then you have the inmates, and you know, when you're talking about the inmates who come in who, when you have the youth offenders who come in and you see the change where the individual has matured and they're involved in rehabilitative programming, and you see the person who was then at the time they committed the crime and the person who they are now, and it's good to see that. It's good to see that a person has taken those efforts. So
thank you.
For me, the public service is something I've enjoyed to do.
Well, last question. I've asked people before here, if you could share anything with legislators. It's not often, maybe, that we sit down and have the ability to interact, but as legislators who approve budgets and who do bills and legislation, what, if anything, might be the one thing you would want us to really know?
I think that my 30 years of service, when I came over to the Border Prisons, I was really impressed with the teamwork and the support that the unit gets from taking care of the commissioners and the deputy commissioners to a whole building that's dedicated to making sure these hearings go. So more of an appreciation for the process itself. And not only the Border Prisons, but also the institutions do a great job when we get to those institutions making sure that we're taken care of.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pro.
Thank you. Thank you much, Senator Atkins. Mr. Vice Chair. Actually, before we go to the Mr. Vice Chair, I apologize, Mr. Ruff. I never asked if you, in fact, had any loved ones or friends that you wanted to introduce.
I do, but they're not here today.
They're not here today, okay. Well, you can introduce them in spirit. I do see you have the incredible and famous Nettie Sable House, you know, using means of a nomination is either a powerful nomination or in trouble, they bring in the heavyweight, the Nettie Sable House, you know. So, Mr. Vice Chair.
Well, I was just going to say, we just met a few minutes ago, and Mr. Ruff answered all my questions, so I have no additional questions.
Fantastic. I don't think there's any other questions or commentaries from the members. Why don't we go to those who are in support of today's nomination. Those who are in support of today's nomination, please come up. I'd ask to be as succinct as possible for those who are in support of today's nomination. Mr. Michael Huff. Ruff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Vanessa Nelson Sloan. I'm the director of Life Support Alliance. We're a prisoner advocacy, a lifer advocacy organization. In reaching a decision on supporting or opposing commissioners' confirmation to the board, we gather information from many sources, often including observing hearings and always reviewing transcripts and soliciting comments from attorneys and inmates who have appeared before the nominee. In Mr. Ruff's case, although we were not able to attend his hearings, the information gleaned from other sources has been very positive and supportive. The comments we heard were most often about Commissioner Ruff is that he is fair and considerate, treats all parties professionally and with courtesy, characteristics which we concur with from reading the transcripts. We have also noted that Mr. Ruff doesn't speak often in the Board of Parole hearings business meetings, but when he does, his questions, when asked, are on point and very purposeful, and we are very pleased to support his nomination today. Thank you.
Any other folks in support of today's nomination? Seeing none, those in opposition? Today's a nominee. Any folks in opposition? I am seeing none. I don't think there's any further questions or commentaries from the members themselves. Can I get a motion for Mr. Ruff? Can I get a motion for Mr. Ruff? We have a motion made by Ms. Leva. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins.
Aye.
Atkins, aye. Berryhill.
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Leva.
Aye.
Leva, aye. Cannella.
Aye.
Cannella, aye. DeLeon.
Aye.
DeLeon, aye.
Mr. Ruff, congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, our last nominee here today is Ms. Paula D. Labrie, a member of the California Gambling Control Commission. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And as I just stated a few moments ago with Mr. Ruff, please give us a synopsis of your person, and then we'll go to questions and commentaries. But before we do that, if there are any family, friends, loved ones that you'd like to introduce today, please do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, actually, I do have with me today my husband, Timothy Nichols, who is behind me, as well as three of my seven siblings, John Labrie and Pamela Murkison and Patricia Calloway, and a dear friend, Stan Sims, are all here with me. And in the event that you don't know or haven't had an opportunity to meet her, the Executive Director of the Gambling Control Commission, Stacey Luna Baxter, is here as well.
Your hands, Stacey. Oh, okay. Welcome.
Yes.
Okay. Please proceed.
Thank you, members of the committee and Mr. Chair. I am honored to be here before you, and thank you and your staff for your careful consideration of my application for this position. I would also like to thank the governor and his staff for this appointment and for entrusting me with this really important duty. The staff at the Gambling Control Commission and my colleagues embraced me from the moment that I walked into the office, and I certainly appreciate that, their support of me during this time. I am truly enjoying this job. I have been now doing it for a while. For me, not only is this a fascinating industry, but this is also a place where much of my background in terms of academic training and in terms of employment kind of come together to help me be able to perform the duties that need to be performed, make the decisions that are necessary to be made, and serve the public. So I am very grateful to be here. Some of my main goals initially, and on a broader level, are to, of course, maintain the integrity of the industry. That involves consumer protection. I'd also like to continue on the path that our chair has set to build relations with the Bureau and with our stakeholders, continuing outreach with them and education to not only the stakeholders, but also their employees, so that they are clear on what the Commission does and we can serve them as best we can. And I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you much, Ms. Labrie. Questions, commentaries? Ms. Atkins?
I'm good.
You're good? Okay. Mr. Berryhill.
Thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
I've got just one question on renewals of card clubs in local communities. I've got a number of them in my district, and so I got just a couple questions for you. As I understand correctly, when reviewing a renewal application for a card club, you get information on any criminal activity that may have taken place at the club or on its parking lot. Is that correct?
That's true. So.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, so that's true. So we will get a package of information based on an investigation from the Bureau when these renewal applications come up and when the initial applications come up. And we will have an opportunity to review if there has been activity, criminal activity, in the card room and extending into the parking lot. It will give us an opportunity to see if there's been a decrease in that or perhaps an increase so that we can figure out if there's some kind of condition or conversation we need to have to sort of get that in, to make that right.
Well, yeah, what's the policy reasons for not including this additional criminal or additional criminal activity information in the DOG report for making it part of the renewal applications? In other words, do you include all the criminal activity in the area or just at the card club itself?
Just at the card club itself and in the parking lot. We don't extend it to other areas.
Why don't you include?
At what point, you know, where do you draw the boundary? I mean, to what extent is the car club responsible for the other activities that are taking place within the neighborhood? So I would presume that was the impetus for where the boundaries were set.
Right.
So they are responsible for what takes place within their card rooms and on their premises. The premises that they lease is what they're responsible for.
Hey, great. Thank you. That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you much, Mr. Berryhill. Ms. Leva. Okay, Ms. Leva is fine as well, too. Our vice chair has stepped out to go present a bill, so we will see if he gets here within the allotted amount of time to ask any questions or perhaps has a commentary or two. So why don't we go to those who are in support of today's nominee. Those who are in support of today's nominee, Ms. Paula Labrie.
Mr. Welcome. Members, I'm here in my personal capacity. Happy New Year. When Ms. Labrie worked for AAA. I worked with her the better part of a decade.
Why don't you state your name, please?
Oh, Mike Knutson, sorry. I made an assumption that's...
Like the cottage cheese, Knutson, right? Yes.
And the ice cream.
And the ice cream.
And other
the
things.
Sour cream.
Yes. Yeah. And yogurt, don't forget that. I worked with her the better part of a decade. High level of competence, high level of integrity. The state is lucky to have her.
Thank you much, Mr. Knutson. Next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Phyllis Marshall. I've known Ms. Labrie for over 30 years. We were classmates at Hastings College of the Law. We worked together as leaders of the California Association of Black Lawyers. I have worked with her professionally. She exemplifies a high level of integrity in everything that she does. I was very pleased when the governor appointed her to not only this position, but chief counsel for the California Lottery Commission. She only served there for about a year, after which time she was elevated to acting director of the California State Lottery. During that tenure, she implemented programs that increase revenue for the state of California. I just urge this committee to confirm her appointment. I think she serves as a role model to so many women, particularly women of color, functioning in a position that is not traditionally held by women. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you much, Ms. Marshall. Next witness in support.
Good afternoon. My name is Nate Duvalli. I'm an assistant director with the Bureau of Gambling Control, California Department of Justice. Here in support of Commissioner Labrie, we've had the opportunity to work with her, and we're in full support of her confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you much. Thank you much. Next witness, last witness in support.
Good afternoon. Yolanda Morrow, Assistant Director with the Bureau of Gambling Control. I echo my colleagues' comments. We're in support of Ms. Labrie's appointment.
Thank you very much. Any other witnesses in support of today's nominee, Ms. Labrie? Any other folks in support? Seeing none, those in opposition? Any folks in opposition to today's nominee? Also seeing none. If there's no further questions, commentaries from the members, seeing none, can I get a motion? We have a motion that's been made by Ms. Adkins, pro tem designee. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye. Berryhill?
Aye.
Berryhill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Canella? De Leon?
Aye.
De Leon, aye.
Ms. Labrie, congratulations. You pass on a 4-0 vote. We're going to keep the roll open so Mr. Vice Chair can add on so it can be a 5-0 vote. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. colleagues, just an FYI, file items number 4 and 5 on the agenda have been pulled just for today. We'll revisit it sometime next week. With that, we're going to adjourn today's meeting. We're going to go into an executive session, so I would ask that the audience, if they could kindly please leave. Today's Rules Committee is adjourned.